significant injury, but has sustained a moderate sprain of his right ankle and is likely to miss some time. We'll keep you tapped in with the latest updates as we get them right here on the airways and, as always, over at SackdownSports.com. I am Simone. Those are your headlines. A warm reminder that all guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get into the last hour of Styles and Watkins.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
3 hours down, one to go. Styles and Watkins taking up to 2 p.m. Last segment of the show, we'll have the cross talk with the Drive guys, Whitey and Draper. As we talk Kings, talk Niners, talk Brock Purdy, Halloween tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
We got some special things planned. Chris just came up with an outstanding segment that we are going to be very happy to do and very excited to do. We'll talk top candies, okay?
Oh,
your favorite
candy,
because you have to.
Yeah.
I also want to hear worst candies.
Worst candies, yeah.
Because, you know, there's some candy when you were a kid and they put that in the bag.
Woof.
And honestly, it's just, you can keep. What if you just said, I'm just 7 years old? Dude, just keep it.
Just keep it.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that, all right? So that's all coming up
Twizzlers.
Tomorrow. See, now you're going hot take here. I'll go Twizzlers over Red Vine.
What?
Let's not do this.
Now you're crazy. Yeah, tomorrow.
You started it.
I did. I'm going to cut you up.
That's on me.
So are either of you coming in dressed up?
I'm definitely going to dress up for you guys.
That is not surprising. I haven't decided.
Am I so transparent?
Actually,
I'm trying to think.
I do have to say something. Okay. Because I went to a Halloween party this past weekend.
Mm.
And I thought it was really clever what I did, and I'm going to tell you what I did and tell you how it went, right? So Tim Anderson is one of my favorite players, right? One of my favorite players. I like his story. He went to a JUCO. You know what I mean? He got it from the gutter. He's had a rough go this past season.
Yeah.
So I have a Tim Anderson jersey. Mm-hmm. I have a Tim Anderson jersey. So I didn't know I was going to this party, and my buddy's like, yeah, you can roll. We just, you know what I mean, you need a costume, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I got a Mario costume. I'm like, okay. And he's a super vert. He's like 6'4". I'm like, I don't really know if this is going to work for me, but I'm okay. Let me see what I can do. So I got my Temple practice baseball pants that I don't think I've washed since the last game in 2013.
Yeah. Baseball pants are terrible, by the way. I'm sure you're well aware.
I had them on with Jordans, so, and it was a rough look.
Yeah.
They're like, take a picture. I'm like, I don't want to, right? So I have that. I have the Tim Anderson jersey on.
Okay.
And what do? I go over to Walgreens. And my buddy, we work together. He's in sports, too. Super. So I'm figuring his friends are going to get this.
Right.
Like, it's going to be clever,
okay.
low effort, but very clever. So I have on the Tim Anderson jersey.
Yep.
I go to Walgreens. I go get eyeshadow. I call my little sister. I said, hey, I'm trying to look for a black eye.
Yep.
She's like, get a little bit of purple, get a little bit of red, get a little bit of black, and you'll look solid.
Yep.
I did it. I look legit. I walk in. No one got it.
Really?
No one. I had to explain
maybe,
it to
yeah,
them.
I was like, maybe it would have been better like with as like a
they're like baseball player.
Duo costume.
Which is like the most basic costume. They're like, baseball player, dope.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
And they're like,
watch
what
the video.
What happened to your face?
Yeah, no. Literally, my buddy was like, dude, I didn't put two and two together. I just thought maybe your new job had been a little bit rough.
You know what I mean? Know. Well, we haven't been getting along
me and my co-host, it's not a good thing. I thought it was very clever. So then at one point, my buddy, because it's all of his friends, he's walking around the party showing people the YouTube of Tim Anderson. Then they're like, oh, I get it.
It's always great when you have to explain the joke,
read
the room, dude.
You know, and I've had some. Tomorrow we'll talk more about some past costumes because I get down.
Yeah.
And I wasn't extremely happy with this
That's really solid for like last minute.
That's
like really solid.
Last minute. The only other thing I had was my Jerry Curl wig that I didn't feel like whipping out.
Yeah, you could have been like Dion or something.
I have done that before. Yep. So, but again, you got to show them the picture.
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? So, yeah, that I just had to let you know that I was like, you know what? I'm gonna tell Chris that I really thought that this was gonna bang.
Yeah.
And
well, I would have thought, like, I mean, yeah, you kind of.
They all played, one of the guys played baseball.
Yeah,
very much new baseball. I don't know. I did have on the City Connect jersey, so it just said Southside, and but I don't.
That's even better.
It's a White Sox jersey. I have a black eye.
It was very clear and obvious.
A black eye. Yeah. I was really let down on that one.
Yeah, that's probably just like that's not on you. That's on the crowd.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's not on you. That's a solid. Yeah,
your references are out of control. Everyone knows that.
That's crazy.
I appreciate that because that's not how it felt. And to preview a little bit of what we are going to be doing tomorrow, but not give you too much, we're going to talk about Brock Purdy and is he? I guess you're not a contender as a player, but
right.
Is he a pretender or not? Has the clock striked midnight for Cinderella Purdy?
Is Lynn's sanity over?
It lasted a decent amount of time.
It was fun.
It was fun while it lasted. Is it over now? Your thoughts, Chris Watkins.
I think in terms of like the sensation that is Brock Purdy might be over. Like, I don't know if we're ever going to like, I don't know if Brock Purdy's ever going to be at the forefront of conversation in the same way. Like, I don't know if Brock Purdy's ever going to be realistically in the MVP conversations like he was a few weeks back. It feels like now we can actually start to form a real and honest opinion about where this guy is at in the NFL, which I think you and I have been very clear and, you know, it's somewhere in the middle of the NFL. I think that's kind of where we're all at now, is that he's clearly not. I think those MVP conversations are done. I don't think anyone's ever going to have is he a top 5 or 8 quarterback in the NFL? I don't know if that's ever going to be a part of the Brock Purdy discussion, but I think now it's more just trying to actually figure out, much like it was with Jeremy Lin, truly, like, okay, he was not this A play. He was not a franchise player here. Mm-hmm. Where actually is he when you're talking about week to week, what you can expect from this guy? And I don't think it's this, but I also definitely don't think that it's necessarily always going to be the guy that we saw for the first 5 weeks. It's easy. It's a cop out, but I think it is truly somewhere in the middle where Brock is capable of on any given week, putting up 220 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think it's really just going to be how often does he really turn the ball over, because we went from him not turning the ball over at all to now it's like 3 turnovers a game. And it feels like where is he going to settle on that end of things is going to be the most important for how good he actually is going to be.
Well, we already talked about Trey Lance on this fine program, so let's just keep digging him up. This guy who I don't believe is playing tonight, which is one of the reasons that they moved off of him. I'm seeing Jimmy G comparisons.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of Jimmy G
comparisons. Right. I don't think it's fair. I think Brock is. I would take Brock over Jimmy G.
Feels safer than Jimmy.
Yes, I would take Brock over Jimmy.
Jimmy was a safe guy, but
every day.
Yeah, Brock just feels like he makes better decisions, and like it feels. It just feels like you're in better hands.
He's mobile.
Yeah, yeah. The mobility definitely helps. He just also seems like he just seems like he's gonna get it better. Like he seems like he's gonna actually learn from mistakes, and I think. A big part of, frankly, I mean, Brock has thrown a lot of interceptions in, like, training camps and things like that before. It was a lot of talk, especially in this training camp, how many interceptions he was throwing during it. And I think we're starting to see that guy appear more in game. And I think I'm going to say the same thing that people were saying when he was throwing those turnovers in practice. And I think it's a part of it is good because it's him learning what he can and can't do. Mm-hmm. I would much rather... At this point in the season, right here, right now, not later in the season, I'd much rather have him trying to kind of test the waters a little bit and see how far he can take his skills now and then settle later in the year than, you know, him start to feel himself late in the year and start to turn the ball over then. So I think the big hope for me as someone who believes that Brock Purdy is a good, not excellent quarterback is that he's going to actually learn from these mistakes. But the tough thing is he's got to go through these mistakes right now.
Yeah, and you hope that you can have these mistakes and still win ball games.
Yes,
and
that's also true, right?
That has not been the case, and which now begs the question, which we never thought that I didn't think we'd have to have it, especially when you move off a Trey. But at the same time, guys like Dan Orlovsky said with a straight face at the beginning of the season that he believed that Sam Darnold could take this team to the next level. That's just his opinion, right? And he's
also
wrong
one, but yeah,
he can have it, right?
He can have it.
He's the same guy that thought Mac Jones would look the same in this offense with these weapons. So that begs the question now. Now we're having leash discussions, and how long is Brock Purdy's leash before Kyle Shanahan thinks do I have to think about it? They moved off Trey, so they wouldn't have to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. But I do think that if Brock, and Brock hasn't played poorly, it's just a couple. No. That's where the Jimmy G stuff comes in.
Yes.
Because you've been playing well, then it's just one back-breaking thing that then just negates all the good that you've done. So when is that conversation going to happen? Obviously, a lot of other things need to go right for the Niners. But if Brock throws two interceptions after the bye week, so the concussion thing is all cleared straight, way, he's fine. If he throws two interceptions again, I don't want to say one, because you never know what could happen.
Right.
Two, and they are at bad times again, Kyle Shanahan is going to no longer be able to avoid the same conversations that he was hoping to avoid when he moved off of Trey Lance.
Right, yeah. I mean, I would definitely say just, yeah, Brock continuing to turn the ball over is definitely going to spark the conversation. In terms of making the actual move, to me, that's like a desperation thing. Like, I think at this point, their feet are planted in the ground that Brock is their guy, and it would take almost a complete fall from grace. Like, it would have to be a massive, massive coming back down to earth for Brock to be pulled. I just can't see that happening. I think it would, like, it would take just games of no touchdowns, multiple interceptions, multiple turnovers, and him just, it would have to be a vibe thing where it just feels like he's going out there with no confidence. Mm-hmm. And we just, I have a tough time seeing from everything we've heard about Brock as well. I don't know if he's ever really going to get to that point. Like, it might in terms of him turning the ball over, but in terms of him overall losing confidence, I don't think he's going to ever truly lose confidence in himself unless he's just absolutely terrible and just throwing interceptions all over the place.
Yeah.
Which would just be too big of an about face. You know, like it's
right.
It would be too big of, okay, but you were just this. And it's not like, again, it's not like a Jeremy Lin thing where Jeremy Lin was cosplaying as Derrick Rose or whatever for like 3 weeks. Like he wasn't being Patrick Mahomes for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. He was just being a really solid, good quarterback.
Yeah.
It would be just too drastic to go from solid play to, oh my gosh, this guy can't throw the ball without turning it over.
Well, people were calling him Mini Mahomes.
Yeah, and you know what? Someone just put it out in the chat. It's very true. Brock technically played a better game than Patrick Mahomes did, like, this week.
Yeah.
And I think that's also a part of this as well, is sometimes we think that those great quarterbacks like Josh Allen, like Jalen Hurts, like Lamar, like all those guys, they don't have bad games. It's just every week they're great. They're spectacular. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. Like, right. Patrick Mahomes is capable of throwing interceptions. Again, Josh Allen, week one through three interceptions. Jalen Hurts had, like, almost an even touchdown-to-interception ratio heading into the week. Quarterbacks have really bad weeks, and sometimes, I think you said it perfectly, like, the Niners need to do their part in bailing out Brock Purdy in this as well. It can't just be, what happened to, this isn't, Brock Purdy doesn't win them these games. What happened to that? What happened to Brock Purdy is, you know, the talent around him is winning these games.
Yeah.
It can't be all Brock's fault when they're losing the games. And I know people put the blame on the defense as well, but, you know, I think that it can't all be put on Brock's shoulders. Quarterbacks are allowed to have bad games.
That's a great point. And I will say the difference between the interceptions is because, well, first of all, Josh Allen, it's almost, the game doesn't start until Josh Allen throws a pick, right? That's when the clock actually starts. But all these guys that you're talking about, they all do, according to people that know much more football than either of us, would say, yeah, but their ceilings and what they're capable of is much higher than Brock.
Absolutely.
So when you're Brock Purdy, I can't really afford for you to have picks and things like that.
Sure.
Because there's the boom or bust. We're not getting both of those things.
True.
Right?
Very
true. You can scurry around a little bit. You can do some things, but we're not getting the 60-yard bomb. We're not getting that. You're already working within the offense. So got to get to a break. When we get back, talking about the De'Aaron Fox injury and the update that we had to start the show pretty much and who should start in his place. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
We are back. 45 more minutes. Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. A lot is going on right now with the Kings, because you feel good about beating the King, as he calls himself. What do you think about the crown celebration. You like that?
Yeah, I do actually like it. I think it's a
if Steph did it, you'd
cool
hate
celebration.
It.
Yeah, 1,000%. By the way, Steph Curry has played 3 basketball games this season and has already like heavily celebrated 2 of them. He did the night night on the Kings, and then last night did that scream face or the Home Alone face against the Rockets.
But he cooked him.
He did.
He cooked Dylan Brooks.
He really did. I've never seen that.
They're going to – I don't – are we past? Remember when people, you know, you would make the dance moves when they did it with Rudy Gobert?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was one hop this time, and they had, I hope they make one of those for Dylan Brooks because that was outstanding.
He was bad.
Real
he was
quick,
turned around.
On the text line from the 916, we're still workshopping a lot of things. We're still working on our intro, all that good stuff. So we love to get suggestions from you listeners. So thank you for this. 916. Dial up the beam wattage with Styles and Watkins. He says himself or herself needs workshopping, but there's something there.
I'm doing a lot of heavy lifting in that pun.
You are.
I like it. I like it. I think I've got no problem with it.
It would just be dial up the beam wattage. Yeah. Dial up. I don't know. Dial
We're
up
workshopping.
The beam wattage. Style up the
That's
beam
what
wattage.
I said back here. Style,
Style
up
the beam wattage, you and go. You're just done. Make the shirts.
Yeah.
There you go.
Make the shirts. Thank you, 916. Style up the beam wattage. Huh?
Yeah, it kind of does feel like a soup of words, like a just a random collection of words.
If you don't like it, just say
I
it.
I don't love it. I don't love it. I don't love it.
Style up the beam wattage.
I feel like we're forcing it.
Real hate, man. That's like an art form.
I like it, 916.
I like the idea of it. No, I think you're towards something, but styling up the beam wattage doesn't make any sense. Really.
No one refers like, why don't you style up the lights?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah. Well, if you're interior.
Exactly right. Yeah.
They're like, are you interior designers? Yeah. That looks great.
Hey,
that
can you style this up for us real quick? Can you style up that beam for me real
style
quick?
Style it up real quick. Caesar on the YouTube chat. Caesar 916 is dreaming, going back to
love that
beaming or dreaming. So that is the first
don't lose
YouTube.
Faith.
Well, no, dreaming, not beaming.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I like to say is or like to see is don't not people not losing faith.
Not losing faith.
It.
No, love Manny to too it. Legit. Did you dress up as Childish Gambino Styles? No, I didn't.
How about Darrell Revis?
That was on the YouTube chat earlier.
Whoa.
These are all the classics. These are all the classics, you know? Childish Gambino, that'd be a tough. What am I going to walk around?
You could just wear like a Hawaiian shirt.
Well, this is
shirt,
America.
Like
he had no shirt on.
That's a good point, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sometimes he kind of does go for that like homeless, like shaggy.
Can you imagine? Like, you imagine if I did that at the Halloween party?
Yeah, people would have been like, oh, okay, are you like...
Are you okay?
Yeah, like are you a drug addict? Yeah, like what are you?
Are you okay?
Are you
what
good?
If you just wore a lot of Atlanta stuff? How about that?
Yeah, that could work.
No,
like the teams.
Yeah, I mean to convey that your child.
I'm done with sports stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Actually,
I'm done.
Yeah.
They're gonna be like, "Are you a multi-sport athlete? What's going on? I'm done. I'm done with sports costumes." For a bit, but a lot of Halloween stuff, a lot of fun Halloween stuff planned for everybody tomorrow. So excited for that show. But it was a scary sight when De'Aaron Fox went down. Huh?
Sure
That's
was.
A good one. And from where we were sitting, I didn't know what happened. I thought it was his back because he went down pretty hard and then went up against
the
foam thing at the bottom of the basket. So I thought it was his back. He was down there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Probably felt
Too
a lot
long.
Longer. You know what I mean? If you are a Kings fan. So we're glad that he did avoid serious injury, as was reported from Shams at the beginning of the show. So that was around 9:55, 10 a.m. Yep. And the question now is, how do the Kings kind of fight through? And if you were Coach Mike Brown, who would you start in his place?
I mean, I know we had the conversation about how Mike Brown seems to really love bringing Malik off the bench just because he's very comfortable in that role, but I would really consider it. I just think, in general, he's been the Kings' main point guard, I guess you can call him this year. I mean, you look at the assist numbers heading into last night before they played, Malik was their leading assist guy. After last night, Malik is third on the team, still has over 5 assists per game. it feels to me like even if he's not quote unquote starting, he's going to be the primary facilitator with the ball in his hand. So I would guess Davion's going to start, and I would guess that they're probably going to start the game just with a lot of Sabonis having the ball in his hands a ton and just kind of having everything run through him like it kind of already does. And it'll just be interesting to see who kind of picks up the scoring load, or if Davion specifically can pick up the scoring load. Because, right. I mentioned he didn't score in the first two games. He was all right last night. I think he knocked down a triple, if I'm not mistaken. And it was just good to see him get involved in the offense. And I know Mike Brown in the pregame yesterday said he doesn't really think about Davion's offense really at all because the defense is what he's on the floor to do. But clearly and obviously, if De'Aaron Fox isn't out on the floor, you're going to need somebody to, or multiple people probably to step up the scoring load, especially when De'Aaron's putting up 37 and 39 in games. Like you're going to miss that scoring punch. So can Davion get in double digits, I think, is really the big thing to look at when De'Aaron's out.
Yeah, and look, we know it's kind of a positionless type deal, but I'm looking at, honestly, and maybe I'm just going a little bit too early here with the Vezenkov situation. But when we're talking about scoring, that's somebody that pops into my head, not going to handle the ball and not going to create for other people. And Chris Duarte, kind of a weird game for him. 14 minutes, 4 points that I don't necessarily
I don't remember any of them.
And 2 rebounds, still trying to find his way on this team. And again, not going to be the guy that would handle the ball like that. But when you're more so just talking, not necessarily the point guard responsibilities and those duties, but also just where is the scoring going to come from? I mean, Chris Duarte, we know he's better defensively than Kevin Huerter, but if Kevin Huerter can continue to just work his tail off as he has been, and if the shot does come back, I think all of our Chris Duarte conversations may or may not have been a bit premature. But, you know, it really just matters. Kevin Huerter, I mean, he played better, but we can't sit here and act like he set the world on fire.
No, he's not back.
I wouldn't say that either.
He's not in the he's no longer in the hole anymore. You know, you're not looking at him at the bottom of the well being like, "Can we get Kevin out of there, please?"
Are you okay?
Yeah, he's at least above water now and he's able to breathe a little, but no, I wouldn't say that Kevin Huerter is in a place right here right now where I would say, like we need Kevin to step up to 20 points per game right now with De'Aaron out. I would love that to be the case if he were you know, shooting as well as he did to start the last season, but he's not. He's nowhere near that, and I think it would be unrealistic to expect that from him. So, frankly, I mean, if you're looking for anyone to step up the scoring load in a major way, I would like to see Keegan, you know, like Mike, like we played that sound earlier of Mike Brown saying he wants Keegan to take any and every open shot. I would like to see Keegan really take another level in terms of his aggressiveness, looking for that shot. And also, Domantas Sabonis, like, I would love to see a 25-point performance from Domas with De'Aaron out, because just in general, he's going to have to be a lot more aggressive. He's going to have to be the Kings' best player if the Kings are going to survive without De'Aaron Fox, even if it only is for 3 games. Domas has to be the best player on the Kings. Or most important, I should say. Not necessarily best in terms of scoring, but for the most part, he's got to look clear and obvious like the team is surrounding by him, around him.
And we keep talking about him as well, a name that continues to come up, and that's HB. That's Harrison Barnes. He's a guy who he gets his opportunities. It's weird because I don't necessarily mind Harrison Barnes taking three-pointers because he can definitely hit that. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes his shot selection, you know, he's almost as if he's, for lack of a better term, like that person that's shy. But then but then at some random time, they decide they're going to blurt something out and like try to have a conversation, thinking, I didn't really, like, I didn't even understand that. Sometimes Harrison will just randomly take a three at the top of the shot clock and you're thinking, really? That's the one that you were feeling?
That's the one that you've been waiting for this whole time? And sometimes, sometimes he'll pass up open threes and then drive to the lane, which, you know, I understand you got to diversify it a little bit, but it is, again, Mike Brown wants his guys taking the open look when they got it. So, I would love to see Harrison step it up. It's just, frankly, at this point, with for how long we've had Harrison Barnes on this team, I just kind of, I don't mean it to sound rude if it comes off that way, but I just, I know what to expect from him, and I just can't realistically bring myself to expect him to step up the scoring load just because the Kings have a clear and obvious need for it.
And we're not asking you to drop the 33 that you did.
No, he doesn't need to.
But you got to
get up 17?
Yes, if we can get you to 17, you know, we're in a good spot. 8 points with no De'Aaron, That's a rough go.
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. And I know he's guarding LeBron for a good portion of that game. And, you know, he's being asked to do things that a lot of guys aren't being asked to do. But, you know, Harrison is still a he's still somebody who's again, my biggest problem with him is that he can do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And too many times you end up with a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Like it's just, he ends up just not really ever imprinting himself onto a game. And I would love to see it happen, but I just, again, I can't bank that into what I expect to see from them.
Well, it actually would be a perfect opportunity to play. How many minutes did he play?
Yeah, it really would.
Unless you saw already.
I don't know. I have no idea how many minutes he played last night. I would say just because it was a double overtime or an overtime game, I would say he played 32 minutes, I guess.
He played 39 minutes.
Which had to be the most on the team.
It was the most on the team.
He played 39 minutes.
8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists.
Oh, boy. I mean, yeah, it's like that's the problem more times than not. It's like, I mean, and that the fact that he's playing 40 minutes, though, that does tell me he's not out there doing nothing. Like, while the stats, you know, you look at the box score and it might say, 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 foul isn't great. I would have liked to see him, you know, especially on a night where everybody's fouling.
Just
I would have liked, you know, get in there, take some fouls for some other guys and really be aggressive on the defensive end of things. But I mean, the fact that Mike Brown's playing him 40 minutes, I don't think Mike Brown would play him if he was literally doing nothing.
No, but that's a great call.
I think he should step up the aggressiveness.
And he's probably the best all-around defender on the team.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, obviously, Davion is a lockdown for the guards, but the all-around defender. So you got to have him out there, and obviously just the leadership and keeping
They don't have anyone else like him either.
No.
Like, they don't have anyone who's as physical as he is and, you know, has just been around the block as well. Like, he's 30 years old, right in the middle of his prime.
Getting to a break. When we get back, we are talking about overhyped prospects and who fulfilled their potential and who didn't. Line yours up as well. Anybody that you thought was going to be that guy at any level or that person at any level, let us know. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are back. 30 more minutes for you on this beautiful Monday. Sactown Sports, Styles and Watkins. And a little bit earlier in the show, we had a text line come in, a texter come in, saying that the Niners, when we did our pie chart, our blame pie, say that both the 49er fans, team, and media, or all three of them, need to split humble pie three ways. And when I heard that and read it out loud, I said, hey, 707, this is from LT in Napa. I asked, are you a Raider fan?
Right.
So that was 2 hours ago. And an hour ago, LT responds and says, LOL, nailed it. Raiders fan, stuffed from eating humble pie for years. Felt like the 49ers were going all the way this year. I guess they were a little overhyped.
Yeah.
Just win, baby.
I could just tell. I could just tell. Shout out LT listening in Napa.
Yeah.
In beautiful, beautiful wine country. And, you know, we're just doing this thing now. Did we start this on Friday when the whole thing? Oh, when I said Beam Regime.
Yes.
So Beam Regime. Yes. Ended up winning, I believe. So the Beam Regime was...
Winning is a strong term. It was a yes or no poll that got 53% of the vote.
It was a win's a win is a win. A win is a win is a win. So the Beam Regime was in full effect on Friday. Beam Regime, a little bit weaker last night with all those Laker fans, but still got to feel good about what they've been able to do. So the 916 is chiming in on the text line as well. I dream of Beamy.
Beamy.
Well, it's a play on the show, I Dream of Jeannie.
Ah, see, that's where the reference. Whew, so far over my head. Didn't catch that one at all.
Wow.
I Dream of Beam is good, though. A Dream of Beam.
I Dream of Beam.
It's kind of mixing up our segment.
Dude, your references are out of control. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. So I Dream of Beam.
Beam doesn't quite work for me.
I take it. 916, it's a play-in. Again, it's in the play-in tournament. 916-339-1140. Let's go to Sam, who wants to talk some Kings basketball. What's up, Sam? You're on Styles and Watkins.
Hi, how you doing today?
Great. Good, good. What you got for us?
Well, I think the most overhyped Sacramento Kings, and I've been a Kings season holder since 1985, and there's only about 100 of us left, original ticket holders. But I think Harry Giles came in as the most overhyped King that I've ever heard of.
Ooh, that's super interesting.
Wow.
Most overhyped is interesting. I hear what you're saying because there was a lot of
they had a ticker
excitement over Harry.
Well,
Jones,
no, we
sure.
talked about the Victor Wembanyama ticker.
Yeah.
How they had the counter. Kyle said that they had that for Harry Giles as well.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
I thought it was Harry Giles.
There's no way it was Harry Giles. There's okay. no way. There was not that much hype over Harry Giles.
And then it was like, a different I big mean, Kings. Was it Bagley? Maybe. I think it was Bagley.
I will say there was for how Harry Giles' career has ended up playing, there was definitely a disproportionate amount of hype for what he ended up being. Like, there was a lot of excitement that Harry could be the guy that he was in high school, which actually, funny enough, thanks for calling, Sam, because this ties in perfectly to this segment we're about
yes.
to do. But, Harry Giles in high school was, like, this number one player in his class, tore both of his knees up, and then went to Duke, ended up getting picked 20th, and so it was kind of like he's not the same guy that he was there, but if he can just get healthy, what will it look like? And it just never happened. And Harry is, he was out of the league for a couple of years. Now he's found himself over in Brooklyn, and that's kind of a rebuilding situation. I'm glad he's in the league, but for sure, I have a Harry Giles jersey. So, there was definitely a disproportionate amount of hype for the actual production that Harry Giles gave us.
And the reason we're kind of getting into this
it's
is because
pull,
if you,
it's a really good pull.
Yes, great call. If you have heard of this kid, he is kind of the next big thing. His name is Cooper Flagg. He's out there. He's from back east. I don't want to get the states wrong. I get all those states confused out there. But he's from up north, back east, the northeast area. And he is a baller. Now, all of these guys look like ballers in high school, but he's playing against other ballers as well. And he just committed to Duke University. So it got us thinking about guys that we just knew we're can't miss guys, or maybe just we were on our hype, on our agent hype, on our scout hype. Yep. Hey, this is a guy. So you had a guy on your list. Who is your guy?
For sure. I have multiple guys on this list. This is actually like a specialty for me, is hyping these
and
like
missing.
Yeah, and then just completely falling flat. But my guy was Amani Bates, because you talk about like a guy who was pretty much in the Cooper Flagg situation was Amani Bates when he was in high school. He won the Gatorade National Player of the Year as a sophomore.
Yeah.
And I remember there was this huge matchup of Imani Bates against Chet Holmgren, and it was as Giannis was in the finals, and it was like this, all right, where is basketball going right now?
Right,
because there's
right.
a bunch of seven-footers
yeah.
who are doing things that has never, ever been seen before.
Right.
And just what does this mean for the future of the NBA? Obviously, Imani Bates, second-round pick, so his college career was a whole mess, but seems to have landed on his feet pretty well so far early in his NBA career. Had a great summer league. The Cleveland Cavaliers seem to be pretty hopeful that he's going to be a player.
Right. Well, now it's
some
a flyer.
Sort. So
now,
exactly.
Now you're taking a flyer.
Now it's a flyer,
on.
But he was supposed to be number one pick with a bullet, and him falling from grace the way he has been. It's been pretty eye opening because I thought it was just the most lock of lock, most guarantee of guarantees because the guy was pretty much Kevin Durant reincarnated.
Right, right. Now, he ended up at a couple different schools, bounced around, talent prevails, and the Cavs are going to take a flyer on him and hope that they're the ones that can, get that potential out of him. I have a couple here, but the most recent one, and I don't even this one is different because I think everybody had him on the list, and it's kind of a sad story as it's starting to turn out. The first time I saw Mikey Williams,
oh, man.
And he was about 14, 15 years old. Yeah. I thought, because he didn't even ever look necessarily that big.
No.
He looked like about 6'2".
He's a guard. He's always been a guard.
But he could fly, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, man,
strength
this kid
too,
is going to be something. And unfortunately gets in trouble.
Yeah.
Gets in trouble with the law. And I don't
probably
know
won't
if
even
he's,
make the league
yeah, I don't
point.
Know if he's
yeah.
done forever, but he's definitely done for right now. Yeah. So that was a guy.
Who are some other guys on your list? Just curious.
So nobody liked this guy. Because I'm going football.
Tim Tebow.
No, I'm going football here. Okay. And he's actually not done. Nobody liked this guy. If you watch I believe the show was called QB1 on Netflix. I don't know why he didn't bug me. Maybe because, like, in another world, I'm a very just cocky individual that people would not like. Spencer Rattler cracked me up, man.
Oh,
that dude cracked
that's
me
a shout
up.
Right
I said,
there. Yeah.
I said, dude, this kid is going to save the Raiders.
That fool is.
And
he's like Colin Sexton level cocky.
Yes. Yeah. And he's just roasting people. And normally I don't like guys like that, but I don't know what it is.
Something about it. Yeah.
I think because everybody else disliked him, I thought, I'm just going to ride with this kid.
That's
and if
hilarious.
I'm right, I'm going to look like a genius. And he ends up having to transfer. It was really bizarre because he's at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. He played for Oklahoma. He played pretty darn well. He's undersized, doesn't
That's
run.
That's a freshman, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
right?
Redshirt freshman, I think. Undersized, doesn't run too well, and Caleb Williams comes to Oklahoma.
Right, that guy.
So then he leaves, Spencer Rattler leaves, and Caleb Williams leaves. So he never, Spencer could have stayed, I guess, but it was a little bit embarrassing.
Right.
So he goes to South Carolina, actually beats Tennessee when they were rolling last season. I think either Hendon Hooker was already hurt or got injured in that game, and people started saying, Spencer Rattler, he's always had the arm talent, and then this year, South Carolina, the Gamecocks, have done absolutely nothing. So
that's
he might.
That's a really good pull.
He might. Because
he was
something.
Supposed to be the one.
He
was
really was.
Supposed to be like, because again, he comes out or he gets into college like right as Kyler's entering the league and it becomes a little.
The
Baker
Oklahoma
is immediately
thing,
picked. It's
yeah.
like, okay, maybe you can be a smaller quarterback and maybe these guys from Oklahoma's system can kind of figure it out in the pros. And yeah, it just doesn't feel like it's ever going to turn out for Spencer. Who knows? Maybe he'll be like.
You got another one?
I got a couple of them. Reggie Bush is the biggest one that I will always talk about.
Yeah.
I thought Reggie Bush was about to be Barry Sanders 2.0, and you couldn't have told me anything opposite.
Yeah.
That was kind of – and I was also like still like in – not an infant, but I was probably like 9 or 10 when he was out. So I that was kind of a really big learning process for me that I was like, oh, okay, just because you're great in college doesn't necessarily mean. Andrew Wiggins was huge. Like Andrew Wiggins, people forget, was supposed to be LeBron 2.0. That never happened. John Wall had massive hopes for John Wall. I thought he was going to be like the best point guard of this generation.
He got the best Dougie of this generation.
He got the best high school mixtape of this generation too. I'm telling you, his high school mixtape is second to none.
Yeah.
And then the biggest one for me, Cam Newton. And I don't even know how to feel about Cam Newton's pro career either. Like, is he?
No,
he made it to the Super Bowl.
Don't
he won
Cam.
An MVP.
No, Cam did it.
But like, Cam Newton's probably like 31 right
he
now.
Did
and
it.
He's out of the NFL.
Well, and that's what's gonna happen to Josh Allen if he keeps running like
sure.
it.
Sure. No, you're
get
not wrong.
Get Cam off that list.
I hope so.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, crosstalk. Also, it is the 30th sports equinox ever. Right, that's when there's a game from
all the main four.
Yeah, so you know, enjoy yourselves tonight as you get ready for Halloween. But when we get back, a little bit of crosstalk with Whitey and Draper, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Sacktown Sports, joined by the Drive Guys.
Hey,
yo. It's Monday. Guys, Kim Kardashian, Skims, official underwear.
Yeah, she contacted me. We're negotiating.
Yeah.
Does
anyone
official
know?
Underwear
of the NBA.
The Drive Guys.
And the Drive Guys.
Gotcha.
And the Drive Guys.
I thought that's where you were going.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I think it's the undershirts.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah, all
it's
their
like
undershirts,
the,
right?
Like the tights and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little shapewear for you.
Yeah.
Wow. Feels like shapewear, Under Armour fumbled the bag there.
The girdles and everything that the players wear sometimes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Interesting.
You all right with that?
What's wrong with that?
I mean, what are we doing here?
Dude.
I don't know. That's what I'm
Is that even
about.
An athletic brand?
No.
Who knows?
No, it is. I don't know if it's an athletic brand, but...
I know it's a brand.
This is like the NFL showing Taylor Swift every weekend.
Right.
Now, the NBA, they're trying to get into a new market.
Yeah.
You know? Some new fans.
Compression shorts or something.
Yeah.
That's what I would figure.
Cool.
By the way, I feel like I spent my whole weekend with you guys.
Yeah.
Pretty much did, right? Yeah, Friday and Sunday.
A lot of time. What'd you think about the... both games, really.
Friday, disappointing. Last night, energizing. Mm-hmm. Uplifting.
Yeah.
Encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the whole injury to De'Aaron Fox thing.
Right. Mm. How tough is it to come into radio on Monday if the Kings lose yesterday and we have to deal with the Kings loss on Friday?
I heard you talk about that, yeah.
Niners
yeah.
loss on Sunday.
I wouldn't have gotten
and
out
Kings,
of bed.
Yeah, probably not, right? Yeah. Like, I probably just would have skipped out on today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wouldn't have been a...
Really?
Wouldn't have been a really happy day. No, there's no way I could have gotten...
Well,
there's no way I would have gotten
you had
that
your whole... I know you don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it, but your whole Vikings thing, they win, but... Kirk,
oh, your
down.
Quarterback's done.
Yeah, it was a rough weekend for me, guys. Yeah. I can't lie.
Kyler Murray time.
That's not
huh?
ideal. I mean, I've heard people bring that up, and it's interesting for sure. I mean, I don't know what the Cardinals are going to do. Like, that's definitely an interesting storyline. I mean, the problem is the trade deadline's tomorrow.
Right.
Like, the NFL trade, like, if you're going to deal for a quarterback, that feels like something you should probably have in your plans and workshop.
It's not
and,
somebody you just want to say, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, Kyle, especially, you know, you're probably going to have to give up some first-round picks. So, yeah, I mean, definitely throws a wrinkle into the Vikings' plan this year. They wanted to be competitive. I think they wanted to kind of sneak into the wild card spots, and obviously without Kirk Cousins. And I think Nick Mullins will be running the show now. Wouldn't expect much success for the purple and gold.
And I don't
year.
Know how that works either with Kirk's contract, because Kirk is making good money and Kyler is making ridiculous money. So
yeah,
I don't think you can't have both of them on the books.
Probably not. Right. That's a great point. I'm not going to ever try and act like I understand how football salary works out.
I'm
but
a capologist
I, yeah,
in my spare
no,
time.
It's
so.
Almost impossible to try and figure out. Yeah. But I'm sure they could figure it out, mm-hmm. but it probably wouldn't be worth it because it kind of comes, much like we were talking about the Raiders, it kind of becomes a conversation of like, okay, you trade for Kyler Murray. What's your goal?
Right.
Like, you're not going to be a great team. You're not going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. If you're not doing that, what are you really fighting for?
And they were talking about Justin Jefferson making, like, otherworldly money.
Yeah.
So they still have to pay him.
Yeah, he's got to get paid as well.
Yeah. He's
first and foremost, priority number one.
Right. They got to pay him, so who knows what's going on there. But, hey, it's Purple.
Love this Viking segment.
Yeah, Purple, just like the Kings to
like
bring it on back over there. Malik Monk, I mean...
The king of the Kings.
I am still, well, you know, for those, like I said, first Kings game, so I'm getting used to all of the nuances.
I thought it was your
game.
Baby's first Kings game. I heard
No, it's
baby's first bean.
Simone knows. It's a term, all right? But all of the things that they do between the different buckets, right? So Keegan, I didn't know about the Keegan Murray.
Oh, yeah.
That's outstanding.
Fantastic.
That's outstanding.
Do you have the internet?
I know, right? Where have you been, right? You only been that. Down the road. It's not like you've been in Siberia.
Well, don't tell that to my mom. She thinks it's 4 hours away. I never heard it, but it's great. If he makes that shot at the end.
Oh, my gosh.
You probably wouldn't even be able to hear anything.
No.
You know, you definitely would have had to have the earmuffs on the baby. If the baby was there. And then the other one, the Malik Monk one, they do the monk praying after he shoots. That's a pretty funny one, too.
Interesting.
I don't love it. Did I not do that last year?
They did do it last year, and it didn't make sense any of last year either. Everyone was like, is this bad? Like, can you say, like, it almost sounds like it's like offensive, but it's just like a monk doing a prayer of some sort.
Days might be numbered.
It might be offensive. Every time I hear it, I'm like, this definitely seems offensive.
It's a little cringe.
I don't think it is, but it feels like someone would have an issue with this somewhere.
The only people that have an issue are the monks who've taken the vow of silence.
That's right.
They can't say anything.
Yeah, they also probably shouldn't be watching basketball, you know, at 8 o'clock at night. I mean, whatever monks can do.
Call in, you know, I don't know. I don't know. So you got the Warriors up next, and obviously, as far as we know, there's not going to be De'Aaron, even though they avoided significant injuries.
Yeah,
probably going to miss
good.
At least.
You know, it's easy to say, oh, he avoided serious injury, but it's not good, right?
It's not good, and it reminds me, he had an ankle injury a couple of years ago.
Right, yep, grade three ankle sprain.
Yeah, he had that, and was that the one he had Tyrese Halliburton's rookie year? Do you remember that one? That was an ankle sprain also, and it took him some time to get back. Tyrese gets traded, then he comes back and plays.
Right.
Domantas Sabonis, and the rest is history. And so when you look at this Kings schedule, get through tomorrow.
Yep.
Not saying, you know, Houston, we can't overlook and all that. But you have some winnable games. Yeah, Portland,
for sure.
You know, you could get this guy on a 10-11-day rest here. And I think, you know, that's what I would aim for if I'm the Kings, obviously.
Yeah, we were looking at the schedule this morning, and it feels like maybe next Friday could be
OKC,
like
OKC, yeah.
The, you know, yeah, that, I think it's the OK. That also might be the first in-season tournament game,
yeah,
if
I think
I'm not
it
mistaken,
is. Yes.
Which we all know you have to have. If you're going to be missing those games, you better have a reason for it nowadays. Right. So that's kind of the one that I have, like, in pencil circled right now, but it is one of those cases you mentioned, his first injury. It's one of those things where you don't want to rush him back, especially early in the season. Like, what's the point in kind of having him play on a bum ankle all year? And ankles are definitely one of those things where the only thing you can do to make it better is let it rest. If you play on it, you're probably going to aggravate it, no matter how big of the ankle braces are.
Yeah, well, if it's anything like the game last night, it might be hard to keep him off the floor. De'Aaron Fox, I mean, Mike Brown didn't even know what was going on. He thought that De'Aaron was done, and De'Aaron just walked onto the floor.
I'm getting back
That's
in.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Getting back
That's
in.
Awesome.
And then it wasn't until, I think, the end of the fourth. And I saw him when he's walking to the bench, and he was limping bad.
Yeah.
And at that point, because when you're right, when he came back in the game, he looked fine.
Yeah.
He looked fine.
Totally fine.
Right.
He wasn't laboring at all. I was like, oh, okay, he's going to finish. I might not even have to worry about him missing a game.
Yeah, yeah. And then you see him going back to the locker room and needing to get helped back to the locker room. So, you know, that's just more Malik Monk and more of the sound.
Right.
That's what we're going to get.
Yeah, right. You better get used to it because it's going
to
be here.
You better get used to it, Whitey.
Yeah. I'm a big Malik Monk guy. We, you know, we had a nice chat with him on Media Day.
Right. Yeah.
So, and maybe Colby Jones, I think it was Brendan Nunes pointing out today, maybe Colby Jones gets an opportunity now.
Good point.
It's not good. I think it's going to be something Fox is dealing with, most likely, based on history, for the better part of 3 weeks, you know, give or take.
Right.
But there are opportunities that come along with it, so fingers crossed. The best thing is, as Kyle says, you got the games are kind of spread out now for a little bit.
Yeah, you got some time in between games, some less than desirable competition, like teams you should be able to beat Houston. You should be able to beat Portland. And then it gets a little tougher, though, you know, with the OKC.
Right.
And then you got the road trip coming up as well. And so we obviously would rather have this injury now than later.
Yes.
So, you know, and this way he'll have plenty of time to get healthy, get back. And so I'm not too concerned because I've seen Davion Mitchell. I know people might think I'm crazy. Davion will be okay in that. We have enough depth, I think, to withstand this for the short term.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time Davion does really well in extended minutes. Like, and I think it's tough to kind of, as a point guard, especially when you're already not, like, scoring isn't your calling card, and then you're going to be out there for 13 to 15 minutes. It's like, yeah, Davion's only going to take 3 to 5 shots. But if he's going to get an extended 30-plus minute run, I think it's just a lot easier to get into a rhythm, get into a flow. And you know, a lot of times when De'Aaron has missed games, Davion's came in and played pretty well. He's been able to put up 12 to 15 points per game, and I think that's really all you can ask for him, when, especially he's still bringing what he brings defensively.
Yeah, and Kevin Huerter talked about it as well. There is a narrative about last season and how they had the Kings had very good injury, quote-unquote, luck. Well, doesn't seem to be the case to start the season, so we'll see what they'll be able to do. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Drive Guys up next, Sacktown Sports.